read, read books, books. Read, read books, books. Read, read books, books. Hold them in your hand, and you'll hippity hoppity clippity cloppity off to a different land. Oh, it's a beautiful land. It's a bookseller land. It's a bookstore land. It's a book land. And this morning we have a terrific bookseller from a terrific bookstore with terrific books that we should pay attention to. We welcome our dear friend Amy Zimmerman from Chatham Books in Chatham, New York for our selections this week. Good morning, Amy. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. I'm loving the energy. Great introduction.
Well, thank you very much. it's on you. Normally, we'd have a pair of booksellers. One of our booksellers had to bail out, and so you're it's all you.
I know.
This morning.
A lot of pressure. I'm missing my bookselling comrades, but I think I can take it on.
They're here in spirit, and thank you very much. I know you got to choose an extra couple books. And that's good. It's a great list. Where would you like to begin?
So to kick things off, whenever I come here for book picks, I don't know if you've picked up on this, but I always like to recommend at least one romance novel.
Yeah.
I'm such a fan of romance. I think it's a deeply misunderstood and unfairly maligned genre. And if I can get even one WAMC listener to pick up a bodice ripper, I'll be satisfied. And speaking of Joe, do you read romance?
What would be considered? I think I read books that would be considered women's fiction.
Okay,
but not and maybe in a romance genre, but not as you so beautifully put it a moment ago, not maybe in the bodice ripper variety.
Well, so then I think this could be up your alley because I'm going to recommend Copper Script, and that's the latest book from K.J. Charles. And I really think that K.J. Charles is the thinking man's romance writer because she writes these meticulously researched and genuinely educational queer historical romances. So kind of like you're saying, there's a romance thread, but there's a lot going on as well. Her books are mostly set in England and take place between the 1800s and 1920s. And because of K.J. Charles, I have learned about topics as wide-ranging as late Regency politics, social and economic unrest between the wars, and even specific anarchist groups and organizing attempts. I have come by all of this knowledge totally against my will, just because I wanted to see if the uptight nobleman and the rakish commoner would wind up happily ever after. And this book was no exception. It introduced me to the fascinating world of graphology, which is the study of handwriting. In the novel, this pseudoscience is practiced by Joel, a former soldier in the underworld of 1920s London. After a skeptical policeman is made aware of the possible grift, he pays Joel a visit and finds himself unexpectedly impressed and intrigued. Like all of K.J. Charles's work, this book doesn't shy away from the difficulties of navigating same-sex relationships when they're actively criminalized. There's an ever-present sense of danger that quickly escalates when our protagonists find themselves at the center of a dangerous police case, trying to work together and be together against all of the odds. This book is a great one to start with if you've never read K.J. Charles before, because it is a standalone novel. But I will say that some of her best work, in my opinion, involves recurring characters within an extended universe. The Will Darling trilogy is a personal favorite of mine.
Good stuff. They look very, I mean, I'm not supposed to judge a book by its cover, but it looks very good. This looks like something I would definitely pick up.
Nice. One convert.
Copper Script by K.J. Charles. All right. Next up.
So my favorite novel, more in the literary fiction realm, to recommend right now is The Echoes by Evie Wilde. I'm a really big fan of this writer. Listeners may have read her previous works, including All the Birds Singing and The Bass Rock. Many of Wilde's novels are set in Australia, and they have this wild beauty to them. These are novels in which little human lives are dwarfed by nature, by the elements, and by histories that are so present in the landscape that they're nearly palpable. I think this latest novel, The Echoes, is both a distillation and the very height of what Weil does best. This slim book is like a Mary Poppins bag of a novel, because you'll finish it and be absolutely amazed that all of these characters, all these relationships, all these continents and years were contained in just over 200 pages. The premise here is a lot tidier and cuter, I would say, than what the book ultimately delivers. It's the story of the romantic relationship between Max and Hannah, told from the point of view of Max as a ghost after he unexpectedly passes away. From his new vantage point in the afterlife, Max is able to finally see his partner, not just her unobserved routines or the wild thrashing of her grief, but the strange, dark past that Hannah hid from everyone, including him and even herself. This is a book about the irrepressible, about the fact that Hannah's childhood, her family, her trauma has never really disappeared. It just exists on a different plane of being. As a ghost, Max is able to suddenly navigate through and examine all of these formerly unseen layers before and after coexisting with the present. Slowly, masterfully, Wilde lays out the painful beats of Hannah's story and of the mother and sister she left behind in Australia, the secrets that tore their family apart and continue to bind them together. This novel beautifully balances these two stories, Max and Hannah and her past. Both are love stories and both are ghost stories. That is, until Hannah finds the inner reserves to reach out to her family and finally begin to heal. While reading, sorry, Joe.
No, that's okay.
I'm going to keep going.
That's all right. You keep going.
There's so much to say about this book. While reading, I was reminded of the Juno Diaz quote, "The half-life of love is forever." I think you could say the same thing about violence and trauma, these silent forces that can continue to exert pressure over our entire lives in subtle and unpredictable ways. The Echoes is about what comes decades or even lifetimes after love and pain, what reverberates and what remains.
Again, the name of the book is The Echoes by Ebbie Wilde, and it is out and sounds great. All right, next up.
So next up, I'm really excited to be recommending Trying by Chloe Caldwell. Chloe is a local author and a friend of the Chatham Bookstore, and we're really excited about this latest memoir of hers, which comes out on August 5th. So get those pre-orders in. Like her beloved cult classic, Women, this is an honest, engrossing account of a specific period in the author's life. This time, it's a years-long era defined by trying, from trying to conceive to watching customers try on pants in the high-end Hudson clothing shop where Caldwell works. Readers are treated to vivid vignettes, everything from funny snapshots of upstate weekenders to painfully transparent windows into medical procedures and fertility workshops, a dizzying cycle of hope and disappointment. In the spaces between these fragments, which are so precisely written and cleverly arranged, Caldwell's own story makes way for greater meaning. After all, trying is a universal experience, and I think an underexplored one. We want to talk about all of our accomplishments, not our possible failures, to reflect on the journey only once we've reached the destination. But at the end of the day, we're all just trying, and that's as brave and human as it is painful and potentially embarrassing. I would put Caldwell's nuanced and engaging meditation on trying alongside Maggie Nelson's Bluettes and Jenny Offel's Department of Speculation, artful philosophical works that readers will recognize themselves in and often return to. And if you're a fan of Chloe Caldwell's work like we are, you can join us at the annual Spencertown Academy Festival of Books this Labor Day weekend, where she'll be one of the many distinguished authors making an appearance.
Chloe Caldwell is the author of Trying, which is just out, and that sounds terrific. Okay, next up.
So my next four book picks are courtesy of our bookstore owner, Sharon, who will never and historically has never turned down the opportunity to recommend some books. The first one she wanted me to pass along to you all is by Amy Bloom, the now 72-year-old writer and psychotherapist. Bloom has written fiction, nonfiction, and memoir, as I'm sure many of you know. And regardless of the genre, there's always a strong intelligence and empathy guiding her work, as well as a certain humor. Her latest, I'll Be Right Here, initially reads as a somewhat conventional tale about an orphan couple originally from Algiers, Ghazala and Samir, who escape Nazi-occupied Paris and end up in Poughkeepsie, where they fashion a happy and productive life. One of the key elements of this new life and delightful agitators in the story are Anne and Alma, both members of a classic mid-century New York Jewish family. The people in this book are quirky and the social dynamics complex. Anne leaves her husband for his sister, and the next generation also falls in and out of love in interesting ways. Compared to Bloom's 2023 In Love, A Memoir of Love and Loss, which was a truly devastating story about her husband's decision to terminate his life due to incipient dementia, this new book is light and breezy. Ghazala's interlude as a servant slash confidant to Colette, the famous French writer, is particularly delightful. This is a great summer read for those who love historical fiction and family drama, as well as the deep emotional and psychological insights that Amy Bloom does best.
I really enjoyed the book. It was a terrific read. I like her as a novelist anyway, but she's this is really terrific. I'll Be Right Here by Amy Bloom is the name of the book. All right. Next.
So next up, we actually have another Amy. Gotta support my girls. So Amy Sheeran is the author of Dear Edna Sloan, a new book from Redhead Press, which is one of our favorite independent publishers. This is an epistolary novel. It's a series of emails and letters to, from, and about the titular Edna Sloan, a fictional author who sounds to us like a breezy mashup of Donna Tartt and Tamma Janowitz. Edna is a woman of mystery. She wrote a stunningly successful novel in her 20s and then disappeared. This book begins as a witty take on internet culture and the need to chase likes. But as we learn more about what actually happened to Edna, it becomes a deeper meditation on what it takes to be an artist in today's metric and money-driven world. Through Edna Sloan's strongly worded communiques, we get her eviscerating perspective on what success really entails, including predatory editors and mentors, gaslighting lovers, and a media ecosystem that simultaneously praised and undermined her. This book is a fun and thoughtful take on both the glamour and the darker side of literary life. We highly recommend it to writers and those who love them, or at least love to read them.
It's Dear Edna Sloan by Amy Sheeran.
Sure, let's say sure.
Okay, excellent. We'll go with that. Dear Edna Sloan. All right, next up.
Next up. So I have something for the mystery lovers now. Carved in Blood is the third in Michael Bennett's Hannah Westerman series, and they just keep getting better and better. Hannah Westerman is a former Maori detective who has recently left the New Zealand police force, but is driven to team up with her former colleagues when her ex-husband is the victim of what at first appears to be a random shooting. Of course, it's not random at all, and Hannah is forced to use her forensic and intuitive skills to hunt down the killer. This is a police procedural with all of the tension and tropes we expect, but what's distinctive and wonderful about these books is the deep, ever-present appreciation of Maori culture. In addition, Hannah and her family and friends have been a constant throughout the series, and it's been really rewarding to see how each of them develop. Given that, we would recommend reading the series in order, starting with the first book, Better the Blood. This is actually a book that we read in one of our book clubs at the bookstore, that where we read all BIPOC writers writing fiction, and this was the first mystery that we tried in that book club, and everyone really, really loved it.
Excellent. Carved in Blood by Michael Bennett. And that's the mystery book. Next up.
Next up. So this is a little bit of mystery, a little bit of historical fiction, bringing everything together. And it's The Lost Boy of Santa Kionia by Juliet Grahams. It just came out in paperback. In 1960, Francesca Lotfield, a 27-year-old idealistic American, arrives at the isolated mountain village of Santa Kionia with a vision of opening up a nursery school. This is post-war Calabria, but the author's vivid descriptions of village life make it sound like the area is stuck in the Middle Ages. There is no road, no running water, no electricity. People live in one-room cabins, teeming with children, chickens, and goats. The plot revolves around a human skeleton that has recently surfaced, and Francesca's attempt to find out more at the request of several vividly written characters, including the local priest's illiterate housekeeper. Francesca has a modern voice full of energy and self-awareness. She alternates between supreme confidence in her mission and dismay at her many social mishaps. She is such an engaging protagonist that despite the dark forces at work and the serious issues addressed in the book, we remain captivated by her youthful enthusiasm and willing to come along for the twisty ride.
Name of the book is The Lost Boy of Santa...
Kionia. Kionia.
Kionia.
Beautiful.
Kionia. Best I could do was quinoa, and I'm glad you corrected me. Thank you.
Sounds delicious.
The Last Boy of Santa Kionia.
Close enough.
Okay. Yeah, I still screwed it up. It doesn't matter. Excellent. Anything else you want to make mention of before we bail out?
Yeah. Do we have time for more books or?
Oh, sure. I had your list.
Because I can throw a few more in there.
I had, if you, why don't you give us one more?
I heard we might have extra time, which is dangerous.
We got one more.
One more is Black Flame by Gretchen Fecker-Martin. She is, in my mind, the queen of horror. This book comes out August 5th, just in time for Summerween, which is something I've heard is now a thing. I think it's just celebrating Halloween in the summer. But this is a really twisted, grotesque book that's also about film archivism and Jewish and queer people trying to escape the Nazi regime. It's fantastic and not for the faint of heart.
And what's the title?
Black Flame by Gretchen Fecker-Martin.
All right. Black Flame is the book. Amy Zimmerman joins us from Chatham Bookstore, and you can go to their website, which is chathambookstore.indie, I-N-D-I-E, Indie Light, L-I-T-E, .org. And anything else? Any events? Anything happening you want to mention?
Yeah, we've got some great book clubs coming up and a lot of programming in the fall. So I would say go to our website or just follow us on Instagram at the Chatham Bookstore and you can stay in the know.
All of our book picks are posted online, wamc.org/roundtable. And Amy Zimmerman from Chatham Bookstore, thank you so much for being with us. It's a delight. Great list.
Thank you. Always
really
a pleasure.
It. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.